Canadian Public Radio.
For Clyde Lewis from the Ground Zero Lounge.
Thank you so much, and welcome to the Ground Zero Lounge. I'm Clyde Lewis. I'm here loud and proud for the Internet Media Monarchy, Cascadia Media. They're helping me out tonight, getting the show out where everybody can hear it. Bear with me tonight. I got kicked by these damn allergies going on. I don't know what it is. I have a Russian pea tree that blooms near my house, and those goddamn Russians, I swear, Zbigniew Brzezinski isn't working hard enough to get rid of them. But no, the truth is those trees, when they bloom, I am just a mess, and I become stuffy and coughy. And so now, actually, what happens, I went to the zoo and started playing with the pigs. No. I did go to the zoo, though, on Sunday for Mother's Day. It was a great time. First time I've ever been to the zoo, though. First time I've ever been to the zoo in Portland, Oregon. I've been here 10 freaking years, and I've never been to the zoo. And you know what really sucks? Is I paid $9.75 to go to the zoo, and half the exhibits were closed. The monkeys are closed. The only thing that was worth the $9.75 was bats. I went to the bat cave, hung out with the bats. They were pretty awesome, but they were sleeping. But they were still pretty awesome. Little, you know, there's something that when a little three-year-old tells you, Daddy, they're scary. And sure enough, Liam, my fiance's little boy was frightened by the bats. He just didn't like them, and for good reason, because they're pretty scary, those bats. Anyway, so about my weekend and Mother's Day, it's really interesting times that we live in right now, and I've been reading a lot of interesting stories, following up on a lot of things, connecting a lot of the dots. Want to remind everybody about the Ground Zero Lounge, the rules we have here. I don't take well to hecklers. And lately, you know, there have been people who have come in here and they can yell at me from the stage, from the audience. I don't hear a word they say. Most of the time, if they heckle or they yell from the stage, they just want to throw the show off. So that's why we have two microphones. We have a microphone here. We have a microphone here. If you have something you want to say, if you want something to add to the conversation, I encourage it. Otherwise, I'm up here prattling off like some madman. If people want to get up here and start talking, by all means do. If you want to challenge what I have to say, by all means do. I'll get heated with you. That doesn't mean I don't like you. It doesn't mean I'm against you. Some people, we had a bunch of Coast Guard in here one night who basically, after I had talked to them, walked away and says, we fight for your freedoms, and this is the way you treat me. And I go, hey, buddy, I love your comments. Thank you. You know, don't be hurt by me just because I'm a big, hairy guy, and I can be scary. That's why they call me the hairy, scary guy. I'm not a bad guy. I just love to talk about things and talk these things out and make sure that we all get the truth because, you know, it's true. Many people... And you can give me some applause here when I ask you, how many people, when they come to the Ground Zero Lounge, realize that they're getting the news before it's news by applause? A lot of people. The reason why you get the news before it's news, the reason why I'm called a conspiracy theorist, is because this stuff is not on CNN and MSNBC. Some of it is, but it's buried. And some of it's more important than the other stuff you hear about, like whether or not Michelle Obama's wearing a weird clown suit. There's stuff that's better than that we're talking about here, okay? And usually some of the best stories come out of bars and barbershops. I realized that when I was a kid as my father and all of his friends were talking amongst the jackalopes and the deer heads. They're all talking about strange stuff from Bigfoot all the way down to their Birch Society communist manifestos or whatever the hell they wanted to talk about. It was some amazing stuff. So, did you want to say something? Come right on the microphone and say it. Quickly, because we got to get to the show.
It is no conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy. The only thing that will save you from a conspiracy is this. Know that all the players are only out for themselves all the time.
Thank you for that. It's true. And you know, the more you realize that there is a conspiracy, the more you realize the conspiracy is out to get you. And it's that's what it is they're ganging up against you. Well, tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've covered before. Now, I've said before from the stage that we were heading towards some sort of a bio attack of some kind, and then we end up with a swine flu problem. Well, the reason why I have a little bit of a background in biohazards and bioengineering and these horrible, horrible, I guess you could say these bio attacks, is because I lived no more than 20 miles away from Dugway Proving Ground in Utah. And Dugway Proving Ground was one of the places where they did open air testing from the 1940s to the 1970s. Not only that, but they did open air testing and open air open testing with nuclear bombs in southern Utah. My mother grew up there, and a lot of the stuff, a lot of the exposure that she got from the bombs going off, she passed along to me and gave me something called tuberous sclerosis, which is a genetic problem that they can only go in and check my DNA and change it. And that's why I'm more susceptible to certain cancers, and that's why I ended up with the renal cell carcinoma that I have, is because of situations that went on. I'm paying for shit that went on all the way back to the 50s, and many of you are paying for shit that went on during the Cold War, that went on even during World War II. And you're paying for it. You're paying for it physically, and that's true. You are. And that's one of the reasons why I get so fed up when I hear about global warming and I hear about all these other little fears, because why do we sit here and we talk about global warming when we have toxic wastes, toxic chemicals, and a toxic environment that was left for us by wars that were fought in the 20th century? And still to this day, the 21st century, we start seeing these things happen. And that's why tonight, the show is called On the Trail of Iatrogenicide. It's a pretty big word, iatrogenicide. It's also a play on the word iatrogenesis. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what iatrogenesis is, or what iatrogenesis artifacts are, and what it means to you as a person who lives in the United States of America. On March 3rd, 2009, Australian TV debuted a new TV movie called Toxic Skies. Anne Hesh is in this movie, and it's kind of a harrowing tale about a woman who comes to Seattle. She's an epidemiologist. She works for the World Health Organization, and basically comes in, finds out that all these people are dying of some strange disorder, and they don't know what it is. They end up having to quarantine Seattle because this is really getting out of hand. Come to find out that these people are dying from some sort of a pathogen that's been released in the skies by some company called the Keller Group. And so when they investigate it, they're trying to get that message out there, and the Keller Group is like seeking out and contracting them out to try and kill them and silence them. And so they're saying that the reason why this is being done is because there's some sort of a pathogen that's being released in the sky that's trying to weed out the old people and the sick people. And so they try to escape the city to find a cure. In the meantime, they meet all kinds of problems. Coincidentally, that happened just weeks before a lot of people in La Gloria, Mexico, started experiencing respiratory ailments. They're saying there was pollution in the air that was making them sick. And a lot of that pollution was coming from an area called the Smithfield Farm. They evolved and mutated into what we now know as the swine flu. Much of the pollution that was at that Smithfield Farm is horrendous. What you're looking at right here is a picture of the Smithfield Farm. What you're looking at are dead pigs that are lying in the fields of the Smithfield Farm. Not only were there dead pigs lying in fields there in the Smithfield Farm, but there was also raw sewage and open pit lagoons, they called them, full of cesspool lagoons, where they were killing and leaving behind pig guts and pig shit everywhere. These people had, according to reports, had not cleaned up after themselves. They were a very, very, very dirty operation. Now with public relations, they're trying to change all that by sending out all kinds of information saying our pigs weren't infected, no problems there, etc., etc., etc. But there are a lot of articles, if you look on the internet, about the Smithfield Farm and exactly what was going on there before people started getting sick. The swine flu count in the United States now stands at 2,532 confirmed cases in 44 states. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is now saying that the USA has now surpassed Mexico in confirmed cases. CDC officials have said that those numbers included 104 hospitalizations. The most recent death, coincidentally, was in Seattle, similar to that movie Toxic Skies. The guy died. He was 33. He had an underlying heart condition that was pretty much what killed him, and the swine flu just made it worse. So it's killing young people, and this is the thing, is that even though the hysteria has ebbed, and even though people are looking at it going, well, 36,000 people have died of the flu last year, keep in mind that this flu is still around and the Centers for Disease Control are still pushing for some sort of a control. And even though the hysteria surrounding this has, like I said, ebbed, President Obama has to figure out or has to okay the possibility of a mass inoculation next year, actually next fall. He's actually looking into the possibility of requiring Americans to get at least two flu shots next year or this year in the fall. Because the reason for this is simple. Even though this flu that has come down the pike now has not caused as many deaths as the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization's first thought. But see, when a flu mutates, such as this flu, especially a flu that many people believe has been concocted or otherwise in a lab, they can synthesize it to come back at an even stronger rate. Ironically, on Cinco de Mayo, it was reported that this would mark the first time the government has asked its citizens to get more than one flu vaccine this year. When the government plays doctor, it's time to pay attention and also understand what has happened in the past with regard to something called iatrogenesis. It is estimated that there are 900,000 physicians in the United States. These physicians can cause about 120,000 to 225,000 accidental deaths each year. Many of these deaths are caused by well-intentioned cures. These deaths are called unintentional injuries by the Centers for Disease Control and rank as the fifth biggest cause of death behind heart disease and respiratory failures. These unintentional medical injuries are known as iatrogenic artifacts or diseases caused by medical advice or procedures. This is also the situation in medical practice where the cure or the solution to an ailment seems to be far worse than having the disorder itself. For example, there are drugs that are given to people in order to make them feel better and have side effects, so a doctor will prescribe them another drug to counteract the effects of the first drug. This creates a way for doctors and drug companies to make money off of you by keeping you sick. It is simple. Put a patient on a drug that continually requires reexamination, testing, and prescription renewal. This is where the cure becomes worse than the initial treatment. It is common and in some cases deadly, like, for example, chemotherapy and others. Some people can't take the chemotherapy. Sometimes the cure is worse than having the disease itself. And also, the cure being worse than the disease itself happened 33 years ago with the same swine flu. During the first swine flu of 1976, it was estimated at the time that the disease could infect 50 million to 60 million people. Well, what happened? It didn't happen the way they had planned. Only about 200 cases of the swine flu took place. And also, the U.S. Panicked. U.S. CDC was panicked, called President Ford. Congress made a quick decision to inoculate all these people. And what had happened is 25 people died from the inoculation itself. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Clyde. It's nice to be back here.
Yeah, give Bob a hand. He's back. He hasn't been here in a while.
5 months. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I've had a lot of free time here lately.
Sure.
Sitting around the house. I've listened to a lot of interviews with various virologists, doctors, et cetera.
Sure.
And the best of the best seem to all be saying the same thing, which is, A, that this disease is mixing in the population now and will recombine, et cetera, and be much, much worse
sure.
come this fall.
Oh, sure it will.
And the second thing they say is do not take any vaccines the government might want to give you.
Yeah, that's
period.
The hard part because
period.
That's
they
true.
They might make us.
Yeah, it'll make us worse. Make,
but again, you're probably going to, you're much better off not taking it.
Sure.
Just for your own health.
Well, and it's the
and
flu.
And build up your immune system.
Right. It's the flu. Wash your hands. Yep. Take care of yourself. Do the things you need to do. Get plenty of rest. And you'll beat it. Okay? Do things that will better your health and you'll beat it. All of these drugs and inoculations, they're going to have to take, just like they did in their lab, they're going to have to take the flus from avian to swine to human flu. Put them all together in one seed, plant it, and hope it grows into a vaccine. This is money that's going to be coming out of the taxpayers' pockets to basically protect you, and they may require you to do this. And if you decide you're not going to do it, you could face some penalties. That's the problem, is that with the new powers, the Health Practices Medical Services Act, among other things, Emergency Powers Act, they can require you to do these things against your will and against your rights. Because I have written about this, it's called the harm principle. The idea here is that if you're sick, you're causing harm to me, I demand that you change yourself and get better, and so does the government, and sometimes you have no control over that. On the left here is a nerve gas biological material card that's put on a soldier. If he's found ill or sick or dying, you're supposed to call the Dugway Proving Ground. Well, I put that up there because that's proof of something. And that is that after the 1976 scare, the 1976 swine flu scare where 25 people died with the inoculation, it was an embarrassment to the United States. Also, people demanded accountability for what they consider to be a complete and total bio attack on the United States. They accused the federal government of trying to kill us. They accused them of trying to kill us. And so they demanded that certain articles and certain classified documents be released. So it was a year later that they declassified biological weapons program statements that included the unknown testing of biochemicals on the people of the United States. Some of these reports show that citizens were sprayed with various chemicals resulting in dementia, miscarriages, impotence, headaches, neuralgia, herpes zoster, nausea, irritable bowel syndrome, birth defects, and low-grade fevers. Funny, isn't it, that now, since the year 2000, we have been bombarded with commercials basically selling us drugs for those very ailments. How many people heard how many people heard acid reflux before the year 2000? Not too many. Not too many people had acid reflux before the year 2000. When did Prilosec come on the market? It didn't come on the market until after 2002. It was developed in the 1990s, but it was not, I mean, it wasn't, 1990s on was when they started developing these new pills, like Prilosec and Nexium. I remember I started taking Nexium when, had to have been 1998.
Is that sure?
99.
Closer. This clip, that's not up.
Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I had some friends earlier in 98 that were still on medication. They were already coming out with them then.
Like Prilosec and Nexium and all these, the purple pill?
Similar to that.
They didn't sell these pills, though, until after that.
No, these were all prescribed.
Sure. But now they're over the counter.
Oh, yeah, over the counter.
And same with things like Viagra and Levitra and Cialis, those drugs.
Yeah.
They didn't exist. And what was the other drugs? Oh, and certain drugs used for depression, like Prozac, Wellbutrin, Paxil, all these drugs being developed because of some of these conditions that, you know, just popped out of nowhere, and they found better treatments. Go ahead.
I do have to say Prozac's probably been around since the early 90s. All its buddies have been developed faster and faster as the years go on, and more cases of depression are reported or diagnosed or whatever. It became quite a fad to diagnose bipolar for a while.
Sure.
But, yeah, the earlier SSRIs and a lot of these other drugs did exist. It's just that the widespread use of them plus direct-to-consumer marketing have increased incredibly this decade.
Well, they were all tested during this time. They were developed in the 90s, tested through the 90s, prepared for approval, and many of the new drugs were developed allegedly to counteract the effects of the environmental accident caused by bioweapon open-air experimentation on the American people. Case in point, Utah has the highest, at one time, Utah had the highest level of Prozac consumption of any other state in the union. A lot of the open-air tests that they did with biological weapons were done at Dugway Proving Grounds. And a lot of these open-air tests caused people to go a little wonky. I mean, you know, that was one of the things that it did. And a lot of people were on Prozac. A lot of people were on those things. These bioweapon open-air testings were going on since the 40s into the 70s. Go ahead, get right on the microphone.
One word. It's called pharmacapitalism.
Yeah, exactly. Pharmacapitalism. Very good. It's true. Now, the Army released simulant agents over hundreds of populated areas around the country. Targets included portions of Hawaii and Alaska, San Francisco, St. Louis, Minneapolis, New York City, Washington, D.C., Key West, and many other cities. The purpose was to see how the bacteria spread and survived as people went about their normal activities. Evidence suggested that the tests may have been causing illness to exposed citizens. Nevertheless, health of millions of people exposed was never monitored because the Army assumed that the bacteria and chemicals were harmless. The tests involved spraying aerosolized simulants from planes and helicopters overpopulated areas. In fact, after 45 years of open-air testing, the Army stopped using certain stimulants for reasons of safety. In each instance, the defects and death that the birth defects, all the other things, the belated they belatedly recognized what was going on, all these things, they waited and they wanted to see what was going on. They said, oh, we better not do that anymore. How many people remember the thalidomide scares? Thalidomide, when they gave those, birth defects from thalidomide, they were just, this is just an experiment. Cadmium sulfide being dropped over the Minneapolis-St. Paul just to see what happened. We wanted to see what was going on. Mold spores, black mold being dumped over populated areas through planes and spraying and helicopter spraying just to see how animals and human beings would react to it. In fact, black mold, when it was used as a symbol, it was a fungus. It would get in the lungs. It would cause aspergillosis. It's a disease that can be fatal. Similarly, in the 1960s, the Army stopped using zinc-cadmium sulfide, a chemical that had been known for years to cause cancer. In the 1970s, the bacterium Serratia mercens caused many infections that led to death of healthy individuals. That was taken out of service as a stimulant. In the 1980s, a chemical known as DPP was removed from use as a stimulant because of its carcinogenic and other toxic potentials. The UN recently put out another list of chemicals that aren't supposed to be used with human beings. It was just released yesterday, which I find very interesting since I've been putting this show together. Neurotoxins that were used in the open-air testing were known to cause birth defects and mutations in human and animal DNA. One of those is tuberous sclerosis, which I have. These effects were minimal, according to the military, and these tests continued. They continued well into the 1980s. It was alleged that they stopped under the orders of then-President Bill Clinton. More horrific information was released about biological human testing and the effects of open-air tests on animals. How many people have heard of the Tuskegee experiment by applause? They actually injected black servicemen with gonorrhea just to see what it would do to them. Syphilis. They injected them with syphilis just to see what would happen to them. And it wasn't until Bill Clinton gave an apology that that nobody knew about this. These servicemen were dying. They just injected them and just to see what would happen to them. Go ahead.
Right on the mic. I've heard people that worked there that interviewed, like nurses, and they didn't inject anybody, but they didn't treat anybody. They had treatments for people, for black people that had gonorrhea.
Right, but they didn't use the treatments.
Sorry, but they never gave them the treatment. They just let the disease progress to death and observed it. But they didn't inject people.
Okay. Okay. He says they didn't inject. I heard they did. I don't know. Does somebody have a differing opinion on that?
Well, just as far as what he said, I heard the same thing. They already had it, and they just allowed
them to die.
But what I came up to say was when you you went through that list of stuff they had dumped for years and years over American populations as tests to see how they would disperse, how many people would get it, they could have just as easily used a fairly benign substance.
Sure.
So for them to make the claim that they didn't know there would be bad effects from they were testing all these individual things.
Sure.
And it's just absolute bullshit.
Well, they were also testing
to believe that they had a good purpose behind it.
That's true.
You know,
I agree with
and
you.
That's
and
what they claim to have, but
sure.
it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
You know?
And another thing, too, is they were basically learning how to disperse aerosolized diseases that were only gender-specific or race-specific, which I think is also creepy when you take a look at that as well. Makes you wonder why all of the swine flu started in Mexico and why they called the Mexican flu. You know, but it's affecting more Americans now than it's affecting Mexicans, which I find interesting. In 1979, a declassified review claimed that the United States intensified its development of ethnic weapons designed to selectively target and eliminate specific ethnic groups who are susceptible to due to genetic differences and variations in DNA. These weapons were classified under project code named MK Naomi. Many people haven't heard of MK Naomi. It was specifically a plan to store materials that could either be capable of incapacitating or killing the test subject, and to develop devices to use for the diffusion of such materials over widely populated areas. Much of the details of the operation and how the materials were dispersed is scarce. However, new programs replacing MK Naomi through the U.S. Army Special Operations Command gave evidence of at least three covert techniques for attacking and poisoning crops and animal products. They've been examined under field conditions. One of them included the deliberate spraying of neurotoxins on crops, cows, and sheep. Helicopters were fitted with spray tanks, and later C-130s were also fitted with tanks that would spray a chemical trail over a large area. What you are seeing is a C-130 equipped to spray over a populated area near Hill Air Force Base doing a test run. This is not Photoshop. This is actually a plane flying in the West Desert of Utah dropping a chemtrail. Not very many people have these photos, but this is a photo from Hill Air Force Base. Modular aerial spray systems, or MASS systems, were used to conduct nighttime aerial spray missions on animals and crops. Each system can be configured with up to 500-gallon tanks for a total volume of 2,000 gallons. C-130H aircraft were modified to perform aerial application of toxins. The MASS is built by Lockheed Conair. Those are the tanks that they put on these planes. Another specification about them is one of the major design criteria of MASS was that it had to be roll-on, roll-off, had to be a system allowing the aircraft to be reconfigured for spray or airlift in under an hour. To accommodate the roll-on, roll-off design, the full MASS is designed in three modules, each attached to modified standard 46-3L aircraft cargo pallets. The operator's 46-3L aircraft cargo pallets. The operator's console pumps, catwalks, and cradles for flush and chemical tanks are also secured for these modified pallets. This is another interior shot of what is believed to be also the chemical barrels that are used. The pallets lock into the C-130's dual rail systems. Once the MASS is loaded, interconnecting plumbing and electrical circuits tie the MASS modules together to contain any spillage of spray materials. There is a pan around the barrel to keep any toxins from failing. If you could see carefully in the back row, there's actually a biohazard sign with red and yellow saying, biohazard spray, avoid it. Okay. Did you have something to say?
I was wondering how they took the picture.
They just walked on an airplane and took the picture.
And then just took
the risk. Sure. I mean, it's well known. I mean, in fact, you'll find out more about how this is being revealed. After the experimental spraying, evidence suggests that under MK Naomi, CIA-funded scientists were called to use special surgical devices, standard blood coagulants, cryogenic technologies, and microwave equipment to use on infected farm animals. Reports surfaced about so-called cattle mutilations, where bovine test subjects are found with surgically removed ears, lips, tongues, mammary glands, genitalia, anuses, and blood. The carcasses were airdropped into fields out of black helicopters. Do you have something to say? Get on the microphone, please.
That's our tacos and our burritos, man.
What's that?
What you're saying, I don't know whatever it is, but that's our meat for our food.
Yeah, it is.
The balls, the brain.
That's right.
So maybe I'm not hearing you.
You'll find out more about why they did it in a minute. Okay. The mysterious circumstances surrounding the mutilations were misconstrued by the media, and immediately you start hearing about extraterrestrials coming down and working on these cows. It's not extraterrestrials at all. What's going on is it's Project Naomi still being carried out on cattle. Cattle are well-known incubators of diseases, and they last inside them for a long period of time. But you hear all these people coming on shows like Coast to Coast AM saying, oh, it's aliens, or oh, it's coyotes, or it's satanic cults. No, it is actually black ops scientists going into uncontrolled herds. They've selected the cows. They've taken them up into a helicopter. They take out all the necessary organs, and then they drop them from high altitudes. That's how it's done. If they can go in and they can surgically remove all the parts, then we've got a very, very smart animal out there. But no, it's more down to earth. It's more that the direction of possible analyzing potential health hazards in animals. In fact, as I said, cows are kind of canaries in the biological coal mine. They hold on to diseases, and they also hold on to radioactive material a lot longer than any animal. They can find out if there are still cows in Europe that have the remnants of Chernobyl going through their bodies, you know, and their offspring have some of the elements of Chernobyl going through their bodies some 20 years after the fact. That's how much these cattle hold on to these things. Bovine spongiform encephalopathy is another thing, the BSE. prion. I mean, these things are you know, they're not an alien agenda. There's something that there's something to this. It's all part of plausible deniability. They can go in and they can cull parts of a herd, just like they can go in and cull parts of human beings. They can go in and they can examine these cattle and then come back with the information long before somebody's doing it the right way. Do it the illegal way, you're one up at a drug company to get the newest vaccine out. For those of you that don't know, prior to any major pandemic or after any major disaster that deals with things like nuclear or whatever, cattle mutilations happen. They happen. And when they're happening, pay attention to what's going on around you, because what it is that somebody sees a disease looming on the horizon and they've already tested cattle. That's why you always wonder, why is it when you hear about the cows, they have a piece taken out of their ear? It's because they have a chip that's been put in their ear. Somebody has gone in a herd out in the middle of nowhere, put a chip in the ear, and has been tracking the animal because it's a test subject for these projects. And then they go in, they cut it up, they put it, and they throw it back down again, and the farmer goes, well, what the hell happened to my cow? Well, your cow was a victim to some black ops organization. Just prior to the 2009 flu epidemic, the pandemic that went on, there was actually a flap of cattle mutilations in Colorado. One of the more interesting ones was a cow had practically all of its body taken from it. All that was left was the spinal cord. And there were certain types of evidence to show that there were things being poked into the spinal cord. Where do we find BSE? In the spinal cord of a cow. We find it in the brain of a cow. All that was left was the spinal cord and brain of the cow. Everything else, we wanted to see how it was affected. And the body showed signs of being crushed, which means it was thrown from a high altitude. These aren't aliens, people. These are scientists, doctors being hired by the government, CIA, to do these. I wrote an article called Biosentinels, the Four-Legged Canaries in the Coal Mine. It was published in a magazine. And I basically pointed this out. This is what's going on, that before a major pandemic, you start hearing about cattle mutilations. You start hearing about all these things because what's going on is the contaminants can remain in the digestive systems of animals for a long time, especially cattle. And that's why it's important to know this. Also, another thing that you need to know about cattle is that cow's blood, bovine blood, is a force multiplier for advanced bioweapons, especially something called brucellosis. And it's very important you should know about brucellosis, because what I'm about to tell you is very important. Because using something called zoonosis and genetic modifying, diseases can be synthesized, force-modified into strains that were unavailable but still illegal to be used on humans. Modifications on strains of brucellosis using cattle were made in order to spread it to enemy troops but would not pass it to other populations. These are known as smart virulence. The newly modified brucellosis would cause undulant fever in humans. It was a quiet weapon that possessed some interesting traits. As a matter of fact, the modifying of the disease created a disabling bacterium that disappeared after the infection. Troops could be infected, yet exhibited no signs of the bacteria when examined by a doctor. Bioengineers created a stealthy weapon. They extracted the active agent of brucellosis from the brucellosis bacteria, although the active agent, the mycoplasma, is still there and the bacteria has been discarded. So your blood tests will show that you have no disease. However, you feel like shit. Okay? They created this. They created it so they cannot detect any bacteria. You go in feeling like crap. You tell the doctor, what's wrong with me? The doctor says, I can't find anything wrong with you. You're out of your head. It's because they basically messed with the brucellosis mycoplasma when they were doing it. They actually took this modified brucellosis. They went to a school in Truckee, Lake Tahoe, Truckee area. They tested it on teachers. And actually, within months, these teachers were sick. But then when they went to the doctor, none of the doctors could find anything wrong with them because there was no bacteria that registered. Yeah, they lived. No, they're not fine. No, they feel like shit. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're alive and you feel like shit, you feel like shit. I mean, come on. I was alive and I had cancer. I didn't feel good when I had cancer. Okay? Like I said, the cure or whatever is not as good as having the problem itself. The conspiracy here is that the tests were conducted by the CIA. They were monitored by the National Institute of Health and the CDC, and encouraged by what they were seeing, the U.S. government passed a newly modified brucellosis strain to Saddam Hussein to use against Iran. In 1968, with the approval of Vice President George Bush, Saddam Hussein received shipments of both Brucella abortus, biotypes 3 and 9, and Brucella melanensis biotypes 1 and 3. After our good friend and CIA operative Saddam Hussein became our enemy during the Gulf War of 1991, he used this pathogen on American troops, resulting in the illness referred to as Gulf War Syndrome. Gulf War Syndrome. If they're not dead, they're fine, right? No. More than 100,000 Gulf War vets now suffer from this syndrome, which causes chronic fatigue, loss of appetite, profuse sweating, joint and muscle pain, insomnia, nausea, and damage to major organs. Troops initially were told that there's no such infection, that it didn't exist, and the problem was mostly in their minds. Slowly over the years, authorities were forced to admit that something had triggered severe illness in many Gulf War veterans. By then, a variant of the modified brucellosis had spread into the civilian population. Many people began suffering from general debilitation and tiredness. When it became known that the contagion was spreading into the general population, top officials with the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control, as well as the Defense Department, Department of Health and Human Services, began a program of misrepresentation of the disease to mask the role in its origin. The illness was claimed to be connected to the Epstein-Barr virus and was labeled chronic mononucleosis. We know it now as chronic fatigue syndrome. CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome. Like the veterans before them, victims of this ailment were told it was merely a psychological condition. Why? Because they eliminated the bacteria and everything else was there making you sick. A nice little genetic bioengineered disease that people were getting. And they were getting it, some women were getting it from their husbands that came back from the war. Top-level officials concerned with both what the spread and the contagion would do and what would happen if they were found out, decided that they would do something, and they wanted to modify another pathogen. And they wanted to synthesize something else to reverse the effects of the first pathogen. Iatrogenesis. Basically coming up with another drug to fit that drug, to take away the side effects of that drug, and hopefully no one will know. In the meantime, people are going to die from it because they can't take it. Their body's immune systems can't take it. In 1994... over a two-week period in August, a gelatinous substance reportedly fell from the sky 6 times during several storms in Oakville, Washington. The mysterious goo allegedly contained white blood cells and several acids that can be found in the stomachs of human and animals, cows mostly. It was reported to infect anyone that it touched or with symptoms of exhaustion, breathing problems, heavy perspiration, fainting, and other flu-like symptoms. Several animals in the area were reported to have died because of this. And coincidentally, residents reported strange aerial spraying being done by military aircraft prior to the event. This is allegedly what triggered the chemtrail hysteria that you hear about now. In Oakville, Washington is where it began. The chemtrail scares and people were getting sick. Using zoonosis, this time on birds, a newly synthesized cure was developed for CFS. A patent was issued in 1996 for an aerosol vaccination process which would permit the vaccination of wildlife and domestic birds by spraying them in the air. The biocompany Maxygen was given a $6.7 million grant from DARPA for the development of aerosolized vaccines consisting of antibiological agents containing protease. It's called ceftolysin, which is an enzyme that they use in detergents that basically breaks up these modified bacterium. And it said that it was supposed to work because they were dropping it out of planes on birds. Well, strangely, other components of the mixture contained barium and aluminum. Barium and aluminum mutate or change germs in ultraviolet light. It can also be used to reflect light away from the earth, causing a cooling effect. This affects the upper atmosphere and weather patterns. Barium and aluminum are toxic substances that can cause respiratory and circulatory ailments, including heart failure. Aluminum has also been associated with Alzheimer's disease. Okay? So the chemtrails that you hear about in the news and you hear from conspiracy theory websites are real. I've shown you the components. I've shown you that they use these types of aerosols to spray on the human people, on the populace of the United States. Why? Because they think that they're trying to help us by doing this. In 2003, a report was filed by Tektronix Limited regarding the creation of aluminum nanopowder using DC atmospheric plasma technology for upper atmospheric dispersal. The work was funded under contract from Kinetic, formerly the United Kingdom Defense and Evaluation Research Agency. Kinetic is also a former partner of the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group is the principal contractor in the military-industrial complex. and is a defense contractor for the multifaceted atmospheric plasma program called Cloverleaf. What you're looking at is a picture of chemtrails being sprayed over an area in the United States. It leaves behind a residue so thick that it changes weather patterns. It's not just contrails. People say, oh, contrails are normal. Yes, they are. At about 40,000 feet, they're normal and they disperse properly. These are what are left behind by the trails. It's not just hit and miss. It is a consorted effort to crosshatch the skies above places in the United States. And it's being done. It's being done because they think they're helping us by doing it. That is the story. They're trying to help us out. Thing is, these trails also are part of what I call Cloverleaf because it's a multifaceted type of thing. It not only is supposed to help us breathe and feel better, it also can create weather modification. It's also used in military communication, space weapons development, ozone and global warming research, plus biological weaponry and serial detection testing that uses aerosolized powders and modified agents to perform a whole multitude of tasks. The contracts surrounding Cloverleaf have been overseen by the Carlyle Group, and it contains their usual cast of idiots. For example, Frank C. Carlucci is one of the guys. We know who Frank Carlucci is, right? By applause. He's the Deputy Secretary of Defense between 1981 and 1982. He also was a National Security Advisor in 1987-1989. So being in this position, he can easily maneuver aerial spraying without the American people knowing about it. Another person in the Carlyle Group that was ahead of this Cloverleaf project, James Baker. We all know who James Baker is, don't we? James Baker has had his hands in a lot of things. He was the Chief of Staff in 1981 and 1985. He also was the Secretary of Treasury between 1985 and 1989. He also was the Secretary of State between 1989 and 1993. And he was a senior advisor under George H.W. Bush Sr. Okay? And finally, the worst of all worst, the bads of all bad, George H.W. Bush. George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, the Carlyle Group, he's director of the CIA from 76 to 77, keeping those secrets and keeping them going with MK Naomi and MK Ultra, vice president of the United States from 81 to 89. He was also president of the United States, 1989 to 1993. And he is the broker and senior advisor for the Carlyle Group, the group that basically oversaw the buying, selling, and trading of weapons-grade modified brucellosis. He sold it to Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein used it on our troops. Okay? Saddam Hussein was our friend when we went after Iran, became our enemy. So all these deals going on are for the protection of you. But apparently, we're not protected at all. Apparently, these things come back and haunt us. Everything I'm talking about is well documented. Biological components, continuously ongoing atmospheric studies in which nations and regions are fertilely inoculated via specially designed delivery systems with combinations of viruses, bacteria, fungi, mycoplasma, desiccated blood cells and exotic biological markers so that test masters can assess human, animal, and plant response. The chemtrail experiments is quite literally an iatrogenic artifact that has been concocted to put the biowarfare genie back in the bottle, literally using one drug to destroy the effects of another drug, and all done by the biowarlords of the CIA, funded by companies with the usual cast of idiots, as I showed you here. The multi-organizational megalith perpetrating these biochemical projects against humanity includes the U.S. Department of Defense, its research arm DARPA, plus Department of Energy, with its huge network of national labs and universities, private defense contractors, and pharmaceutical companies. They're heavily involved as well. Why? Because if you get sick, they can sell you drugs to make you feel better. They're all helping each other. These aerosol projects, they're complicit. The United Nations, they're complicit. They're all complicit because they were told that it was for our betterment. But many people are dying and getting sick because of the spraying that's going on over major cities. The chemical advanced bio programs that put us in the trail of iatrogenicide have been created and perpetrated by the same shadow government lunatics who have waged four limited nuclear wars since 1991. Radioactive uranium-tipped weapons, declared both illegal and immoral by the entire civilized world, have been used by the Pentagon in Desert Storm, the Balkans campaign, and the ongoing occupation wars against Afghanistan and Iraq. Few Americans understand the extent of carnage inflicted in the name of their fathers across the planet for nearly a century. The use of so-called depleted uranium does not disperse, but remains with us for 4.5 billion years. So don't tell me about your fucking global warming until you clean up the messes that you created during the Cold War. That's the way I look at it. Also, the U.S. is now being accused of using white phosphorus in Afghanistan on people. It's been said that we are only supposed to use it to illuminate an area. But 120 people allegedly died being burned using this white phosphorus. The United States is acting as though that we didn't do it, that innocent people were not killed. You need to investigate this because the truth is, whoever ordered the dropping of white phosphorus over Afghanistan to kill people, it is a war crime. So the torture that was done during the Bush administration has now crossed over into the Obama administration with the dropping of white phosphorus, a chemical that ignites when it reaches the air. Don't tell me they don't spray people, because they do. When I read stories about chemtrails, when I read stories about people saying it's all a big hoax and all a big joke, I laugh, because the facts are chemicals are and will be used on the American people if they feel they need to be used as basically virulence or simulants. The chemtrailing of the populace is not only damaging to our health, but it also is causing problems with the upper atmosphere. They've created a monster that is culling the entire planet. It's a bioengineered iatrogenocide. Reports of global warming have now been concocted to be the most fearful hobgoblin waiting in the wings for us. We're hearing about that all the time. But we're not doing anything to stop the spraying or the upper atmosphere gerrymandering that they're doing right now with chemtrails. No, the only person who brought it up was Dennis Kucinich in 2001. He's the only one that brought it up. When they brought it up, they said, remove this from your proposal, or otherwise you're going to be in trouble. You see, chemtrails are a reality. They're going to cause more global catastrophe because they're just breaking down the environment. I mean, global warming is something that they've come up with when really it's global sustainability. And I talked about this. These are causing problems in the upper atmosphere. It will leave us looking for food. It will leave us looking for water, energy supplies. And then they'll want another drug to counteract the effects of this drug. Once global warming is taken care of, what's waiting in the wings for them to try and eliminate next? Despite visual evidence that every aspect of our physical environment is being manipulated and damaged for the war effort, some Americans cannot accept that dangerous covert operations are being conducted by a government they still believe to be virtuous defender of freedom and are gullible with regards to politically based global warming and atmospheric tinkering. Their stumbling block is a numbing belief that their own officials would never perpetrate dangerous experimentation on humanity because they have families too. I have shown here that history and the release of declassified government documents disprove such naivete. Although they had families too, the U.S. government and its defense contractors exposed citizens of the Northwest region of the United States to huge and deliberate releases of radioactive iodine from the Hanford Nuclear Reservation in Washington State, where plutonium was produced for nuclear bombs, virtually creating mutant citizenry prone to thyroid problems and cancers. I already mentioned that the protectors of freedom also created downwinder problems when they were doing the nuclear tests because they had families too. They had families too. They wouldn't do it to your family because they have families too. They don't give a fuck about you or whether or not you're in the crosshairs of their little experiment. And I don't care if it's Barack Obama or George Bush or Dick Fuck me up the ass, Cheney. This is going on, and it will continue to go on. Doug, go ahead.
A couple of slides back, you brought up Royal Dutch Shell. Well, I think they go on trial May 24th or May 26th for human rights violations in Nigeria.
Good. Good. So. Thank you. Thank you for that. I didn't know that. Thank you. We are told the defense officials perpetrated these tests so that scientists can learn about how to protect Americans from nuclear attacks. We have been told that chemtrails are a part of a program to protect Americans from those so-called protectors who, while allegedly protecting us, supplied Saddam Hussein's war machine with 90 shipments of chemical and biological weaponry that was created by scientists whose intentions were to protect us from Iran by testing modified brucellosis on unsuspecting Americans, creating Gulf War syndrome and chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, can anyone see how stupid this is? that we continue to support the war effort. There's no reason to. There's no reason to continue these tests on these weapons to find out how we can kill more people more accurately. This is stupid. And I've been saying this and shouting from the rafters the whole time. Because it's affecting people, not just people who you think are the enemy, but it's actually making a footprint, not only on the earth, but in the atmosphere itself. And, you know, you can ignore it all you want. And you can think this doesn't affect you, but it does affect you. And unless you have somebody in your family, unless you have somebody in your family that dies from this or has a respiratory element or a problem, and unless you start feeling the pinch from taxation that they're going to give you for greenhouse gases, you're going to thank me for giving you this information when it comes time to put it to a vote. And they tell you, your carbon footprint on the planet means more money that you're going to have to pay out in taxes because of these new taxes, these carbon taxes they want to push on you. 8 years ago, it made liberals angry to know that neocons had followed Bush into the war, mindlessly waving their flag, supported torture and injustices caused by the Patriot Act. Now mesmerized Obama cult worshippers continue to excuse unwarranted deaths in Afghanistan, wiretapping, and all the other shit that they've continued on since the Bush administration. My question is, where is the anger about this? Is there any anger? Or are we all on this little joyride with Obama right now saying it's all going to be okay when they continue to perpetrate this on the American people? And you can tell me that Obama's changing everything. You can tell me that Obama's doing all this. But truth is, the enemy has been defined, and that enemy is you. They're aiming the gun at you, and they're going to continue to aim the gun at you, and they're going to want you to do what they say. And as we stare into the oily sky, throwing up and being all sick and tired of being sick and tired, no one's going to do anything to help you because you pretty much have signed your rights away. That's what's going on here. The doctor has offered you a pill. There's bad side effects with this pill. So there's going to be more pills that are going to be offered to you, and you're going to continue to take these pills. When is pain too much pain? When is sickness too much sickness? Obama recently stated that he wants to approve a program where they are going to actually continue the chemtrail spraying in the United States. President Obama is looking into spraying the skies with more pollutants in order to reflect the light back to the sun. This is no longer conspiracy theory, this is reality. Chemtrails are real and they're being used to manipulate the environment. The American people will literally be sprayed over with pollutant particles, particulates that are finer than human hairs and that can be inhaled or ingested, causing health problems that can be written off as naturally occurring health problems. Go ahead.
I remember that working out really well in The Matrix.
Yeah, in The Matrix they did the same thing. They scorched the skies with chemtrails. It was really an interesting topic. Come on the microphone and say it. No one's going to hear you if you're sitting out there yelling.
Doesn't the heat in the earth begin in the middle of the earth, not above the earth?
What's that?
The heat? The global warming starts in the middle of the motherfucker, not
the middle of the earth. No, it happens in the upper atmosphere.
But the sun.
And it's the carbon dioxide, allegedly, and basically the sun activates, ultraviolet light activates germs. There's a cesspool of germs up above you in the air, and they're basically waiting to come back down. The sun brings down these germs. Some of it comes from inside the earth, but most of it comes from outside the earth.
The sun burns off the germs.
No, they don't. The sun brings the germs down. Yeah, ultraviolet light activates bacteria. It activates the upper atmosphere. The upper atmosphere is a cesspool of germs. It always has been and it always will be. And so these inoculants and these stimulants that they're putting above the earth are just waiting to be activated by ultraviolet light. And that's how it's done. That's how it's done. They're going to continue MK Naomi is what they're trying to do that. Here's another picture I want to show you. No, those aren't twigs and those aren't scratches. Those are trails left over Georgia, Florida, the Carolinas. Notice how they just stay there. Contrails disappear at 40,000 feet. These are creating a mess in the skies. And they're being done for a reason. It's applied geoengineering. And these technologies, you can look them up. They're being used as nanopowders, certain types of nanopowders, aluminum powders, barium powders, particles with sulfur dioxide in them, aluminum oxide, or even designer self-levitating aerosols. They're being used. This is coming right out of the book of the Council on Foreign Relations Symposium on Geoengineering 2008. Last year, May of this last year, is when they discussed doing this to the American people. Literally using chemtrails for weather modification, global warming
mitigation strategies have already been proposed as the Air Force published weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather by 2025, literally using simulants and sprays to change the direction of the jet stream. Actually, they're utilizing the same methods endorsed that are being endorsed by the Obama administration right now. Many climatologists and meteorologists warn that this could create supercell storms, force-multiplied hurricanes, tornadoes, and shelf storms, which are called wall tornadoes, that could devastate an area of 200 square miles with winds of 300 miles per hour. Let's talk a little bit about 300 mile per hour winds. You know, hurricanes don't get that high. They're about 150 miles an hour. At 300 miles an hour, that's called an F5 tornado or an F5 storm. On the Fujita scale, that's an F5 or the finger of God. When winds start getting in excess of 300 miles an hour, some interesting things start happening. Trees turn to splinters, buildings are taken out, cars fly like toys, and asphalt gets ripped off from the roads. And if you stand in a 300-mile-an-hour windstorm, your skin can actually come off. It can blow your skin literally off your body. That's how hard a 300-mile-an-hour windstorm is. These storms, called shelf storms, are 200 miles wide. They blow forward, not counterclockwise, and they're called derechos. You're going to be hearing more about derecho storms in the future because derechos are happening a lot lately. They're called derechos. That is the name of the storm. See, Obama doesn't want to stop at Messiah. He wants to play God. Not only does he want to control the skies, he wants to control the weather, and he wants to control global warming, and he wants to control whether you get sick or whether you die. Health care, basically. If we go beyond the issue of a threatened pandemic, you can assume that the new and emerging diseases that seem to generate panic do so because of some political and economic design. The plagues, pandemics, and even the mass inoculations through chemtrails seem to be connected to some money-generating operation. If this whole affair is part of the agenda for global sustainability, then you will witness a repeat performance of physician-assisted mass murder similar to 1976. It is iatric genocide to serve economic and political depopulation objectives, objectives that are very real and are part of the future endeavor to reduce resource depletion on the planet. With millions of lives in the balance, this issue is one that I hope you don't get sick of hearing about or talking about. I think you should pay attention to what's happening because next fall, I'm probably not going to be talking any more about the swine flu or any of these other things, but I want you to keep in mind that next fall, Barack Obama has to make a very, 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 very important decision about your health. And that is whether or not he's going to force a number of people to get inoculated against the swine flu. Two shots they're going to require, plus an additional flu shot. So that would be three flu shots that you would have to take in order to combat this disease. Or else, whatever they decide. The situation is this. I know that you've been told by a number of people that the swine flu was a big hoax. It wasn't a hoax. It was a reality. It really happened. Okay? It really happened. It continues to happen. We have hospitalizations going on that surpass Mexico. We've had all kinds of other deaths. One death now in Seattle. Don't downplay the swine flu just because it doesn't kill as much as the other flus do. We've only just begun. By next fall, you're going to be hearing more about the flu. It's going to mutate. It's going to change, and Obama has to make a very important decision. And you have to make a decision, too, as to whether or not you're going to accept the inoculation, because you know what it can do to you. So you got to take your chances, and that's the scary part. Okay? So be looking for information about simulants, biogeoengineering, and the use of pollutant particulate in order to change the ecosystem. These are all these strange and weird ideas that they're doing because they feel that they have to change the makeup of the planet. Remember last week when I talked about resilience. The planet has the ability to rebuild itself. The more we tinker with it, the more it may not be able to regenerate the ecosystem. We could do more damage than good. And then we have to be responsible for iatric genocide, basically making up some cure that kills the patient. And we don't want to do that now, do we? I'm Clyde Lewis. This is the Ground Zero Lounge. We'll see you next week. By the way, shows that I have are available for $10. Come up to me. I'll do any show you want. I'll make it for you, and you'll have it ready to go, and you can show your friends. Because a lot of people tell me, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to explain it. You've got all the information. Come pick up a show for $10. I'll make one for you later on. Karaoke from Hell's up next. Good night, everybody. Thank you.